You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Long after Thanksgiving before we started cracking open that Christmas music, as we are wont to do here on TPC every December. You know it. It's been an annual tradition for as long as we've been on the air, and we are going to do it again this year, starting tonight all the way through the December 26th broadcast. We're going to be featuring some of those favorite fun songs and some of those most spiritual hymns as we get a little bit closer to the celebration of Christ's birth on December 25th, as it is celebrated. I am your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander is back with me tonight. Keith, I missed you last week, but it was a show that was as timely as it was necessary from South Carolina. I know you listened to the show, and you had, I think, some of the same feelings as so many people from our audience had. We received more emails and correspondence from that particular broadcast than any we have done in recent history. Keith? Oh, you got to turn. Let's see. Let's get you up and going. Now we go.
Okay.
He's back.
I'm back. When I first heard what you were doing, which was about, I think, on Saturday of last week, well, I said, why are we cutting out in this most important time about when the election is still undecided and there's all sorts of machinations going on both sides to determine who is going to wind up being the president of the United States. But then when I turned in and listened, I said, this is a great show, and it's great to have a change of pace. And quite frankly, it looks like you went to the lost world or something, you know, journey to the center of the earth. One place where the common sense of white Americans from the 1940s and 50s lives on.
Let me tell you something, Keith. It was a fantastic experience. Anybody who missed last week's show, and with the hustle and bustle of Thanksgiving week, perhaps you did, go back and listen to it, folks. We are going to build on last week's show and kind of ride that wave for the remainder of the broadcasting year. We're going to continue to focus on uplifting stories and spotlight people who inspire us throughout the month of December. And as I said, continuing to build upon the foundation we laid last week, we're going to welcome, for her debut appearance on TPC this evening, Sarah Dye of Schooner Creek Farm. She's going to come on and share with you the story of her family and their family farm and their experience at the farmer's market up there in Indiana. And you don't want to miss that. That's what we're going to do. And that, with that on top of the Christmas music that we're going to be featuring for the next few weeks, I hope you'll find a little hope and inspiration, some encouragement. It's like we were talking about at dinner tonight, Keith, and we are going to cover politics as well, so don't worry. You're going to still get your standard fare at TPC. But we were saying, you know, we could lament, we could fret over what's going to happen and how it's going to play out between now and the inauguration. And if it goes for Biden, what it's going to look like after that. We'll cover it all as it comes. But for right now, we're going to focus on building our own communities and how we can self-help one another and empower one another. And with shows like we had last week certainly go a long way to helping us give ideas, at least, and get the wheels turning in our minds.
Well, I've got a question that was raised in my mind by last week's show and also the election controversy that we're living through right now. If the Democrats get Biden in, I believe that Ann Coulter said it best, adios America, and particularly adios any America in which white Gentiles seem to have an important say in what's going on. And if that is the case, everything I was listening to last week was great in terms of producing tradesmen, craftsmen, electricians, plumbers, blacksmiths, things like this. But, and it's a problem that is endemic in, what would you say, the homeschooling movement. Where are we going to get the scientists? Where are we going to get the people that can get into selective colleges and universities so that we haven't totally surrendered the field for governing the nation and ourselves? That's always a question in my mind, because it seems like, in a way, we're becoming, you know, what might be being proposed there is that we become the new Amish. We will live out in rural areas to ourselves and eschew being part of the normal modern life cycle that we've got going now. And if that's the case, you know, the Amish exist because they're tolerated by the people that are actually in control of the government. If the government ever decided we don't like the Amish and we want to do away with them, they could do it pretty easily. And that's why I don't think we can totally surrender the field when it comes to fighting for, you know, who grabs the reins for running the government.
Well, you're right about that, and I don't think anybody was suggesting that. It's just a different set of options, and people have to look into their hearts and survey their own circumstances and see which way to go. But I will tell you, last week's show does provide an example of how you can abjure the realm to an extent and live in relative peace and happiness for a time. I mean, all we can do is play the cards we have, the hand we're holding for the foreseeable future and roll with the punches to an extent. Lots of feedback. I'll read through just three examples of many that we received. Great show, great people, uplifting, motivated, positive, a much-needed change from the grind of politics. Yes, indeed it was, and that was, of course, the intent. Last week's show, a listener from Texas writes, was highly interesting and inspiring, real leadership at the ground level personified. Well, I couldn't agree more. And then one of our good friends from New Jersey, holy smokes, what a great show that was. From beginning to end, if anyone ever tells you to not do the Southern stuff, don't listen to them. The passion of you and your people comes through when you're doing Southern stuff. Well, don't worry about that, brother. No one has ever suggested it, first of all, and we wouldn't listen to them if they did.
And it's not just Southern. It's all of white people, white Gentiles everywhere in America and elsewhere.
We are going to talk, I promise, about more post-election fallout, the latest happenings on the Supreme Court, what's going on with COVID. We're going to do that this hour. Let's go ahead and get it going. We're going to do it when we come back. We'll get the ball rolling. Sarah Dye from Schooner Creek Farm in the second hour. You're not going to want to miss that and much more to come.
Live free or die.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
A pair of hobbling boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
Gentlemen, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas at the Edwards home, as Keith can attest, coming over to my house today before we came to the studio together. Immediately on after Thanksgiving dinner at my house, we got down the Christmas decorations as quickly as we could from the attic. The tree was up Thursday night, and it has already been a full transition from the orange and brown colors of fall to the red and the green, and our house, if I do say so myself, is looking good. In fact, I even put a picture of the Christmas tree up on my Twitter account. Maybe you'd like to go take a look at it. So that's what we've been doing. We've had a great time, my wife and now three children, decorating for Christmas. It is a very special time of year, the most wonderful time of year, as the song advises us. But let's, Keith, get down to business. What's going on now with Trump and Biden? So we're seeing mixed signals from Donald Trump. On one hand, he says he's got he's going to release the Kraken. He's got the smoking gun. Then he allows the General Services Administration to release the funds that would grease the skids for a Biden transition. Then he says, I've got proof that we're going to win. Wait, what are you going to do when I announce that I will accept my second term? And then on the other side, he is... of course, well, what's he doing on the other side? We mentioned the GSA releasing the funds. Oh, he's saying, of course, he'll step down if the Electoral College says Biden won. So it's a little bit of doublespeak there from Trump. What do you make of it all?
I think he's being a normal human being. A normal human being tries to find middle ground with his adversaries. The problem is liberals and leftists and cultural Marxists are not ordinary human beings. One of their principal tactics is called critical theory. What is critical theory? It's the theory is to criticize relentlessly any position taken by your adversary. You never concede that they've made a point, never concede that they have a good idea, never do anything except be completely dismissive of them and their ideas. And it works. If you watch the news, if you watch the network news now, half of the newscast is about COVID. And, you know, that ground has been plowed over so many times, there's no need to do any more on it. But it's basically a diversion. It is extremely diverting. That's why they do this. This is the reason why we were led and conditioned to expect massive mail-in voting, because of COVID. Now, they don't want to talk about the election fraud investigation or the lawsuits. They're totally dismissive about it. They say, well, that's just Trump being the narcissist that he is, and a poor loser, and an abrasive personality, and this, that, and the other. And they always say his latest theory, which is false. You know, there's no intent and no idea in their mind to be a fair or unbiased journalist anymore. That's no longer even something to be aspired to. In fact, that's something to be scorned. And that's why we've got to figure out what's going on. This is uncharted territory that Trump is going over right now. No one else has challenged an election like this. Electoral fraud, I think we talked about during dinner, is basically low tech and high tech. The low tech is the typical, you know, urban shenanigans that you see in places like Memphis, where if you don't believe in life after death, come to Memphis on election day, we used to say. You know, this is people harvesting, getting, absentee ballots, and telling people as they leave church, just go ahead and sign it. And don't worry your pretty little head about the rest of it. We'll make sure that you vote like a good member of our group should vote. Well, that's difficult, very difficult to prove, because it is mind-numbingly boring. You'd have to go through every incident, every affidavit that you have. You'd have to open it all up, and it would just be an interminable problem. We're lucky, I guess, that a big part of what happened in this election is high-tech fraud through the Dominion computer program, the machine, and the protocol. The program, protocol, and the machine. And that is a lot easier, I think, to prove, that you don't have to prove every vote that you say was an improper vote, like you would have to do, more or less, in a low-tech election fraud situation. Of course, they blended them together. All of these votes had to come from somewhere, and what they've done, what the Democrats did, is follow them through all the normal places that they go to, you know, the minority majority cities, and where all of the people that are working on the election proctors, people like this, are all good Democrats. And see, that's why we need to be very wary of this. Also, James, if there's anyone that should be aware of the shortcomings of the legal system of America, it would be you, with that case you had against, what was that guy's name, Bankhole Thompson or something?
Yeah, well, we just got, you know, we're going to have to see what Aesop's fables say about election
right.
fraud.
Yeah,
then we'll get to the bottom of it all. But yeah, here's the thing we were talking about, too, with this whole ordeal, Keith. Again, Donald Trump, just as recently as last night, Donald Trump, how do you plan on celebrating my official win announcement? Okay, that was on his Twitter account last night. So either this is the biggest grift in the history of American politics, and by that I mean he is just pretending to fight so that he can continue to harvest the email list and bring in funds to retire his campaign debt. Either this is the most elaborate scheme we've ever seen, or he really does have proof. Now, if he does have any proof of fraud to the extent that it would overturn an American presidential election, he absolutely cannot leave the White House. If he truly has that proof and he just walks away in January, I hope he does go to jail. And if he doesn't have this proof and he's taking it to this extent just so he could raise a little money, I hope he goes to jail. But here's the thing. You asked, you know, well, you took your licking in the libel lawsuit. And I said, yes, well, the difference between me and Trump is I don't command the United States military. And he does. So he does have an option there if he really and truly has what he claims to have, the smoking gun that he won all of these states that are in contention, because in the meantime, he is certainly getting routed in case after case and in court after court with these judges serving as their own censors and doing what they know needs to be done in order to continue to operate a polite society.
Well, let me tell you this. A lot of people are under misapprehensions about what is proof, legal proof, that is admissible in a court of law. For example, a lot of people think affidavits are good legal proof. If any defense lawyer is worth his salt, you start trying to admit a bunch of affidavits, they'll say, objection, Your Honor, hearsay. Objection, Your Honor, you know, not the best evidence, things like this. You would have to get the actual people that gave the affidavit, take their depositions at the very least, or have them testify in court. See, and this is what, that's why this type of case, it's almost like the perfect crime, because no judge wants to get caught in that briar patch.
Well, isn't it an affidavit, though, sworn under penalty of perjury, even if it's outside of a court?
Well, that's a good way to cross-examine somebody. So you said this, and you know that you are, if you have lied, you're guilty of perjury. But that's not the proof. The best proof is going to be testimony in open court.
We'll continue to talk about this potential outcomes. When we come back, Sarah Dye of Schooner Creek Farms, inspirational story of family standing up and fighting. Second out.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Iran has vowed retaliation over the killing of one of its top nuclear scientists. In a statement Saturday, President Hassan Rouhani promised an aggressive response to Friday's assassination. Representative John Garamendi says the U.S. needs to be prepared for whatever Iran's response may be. The California Democrat tells Fox News Iran may try to retaliate diplomatically.
Right now, obviously, we are and we must be prepared for some sort of retaliation. What it will be, my guess is it'll be something that'll be pinpointed. It might very well be in the diplomatic area, not in the military area. And so we need to be prepared on all of these.
Iran has blamed Israel for the killing with backing from the United States, something that Israeli officials have denied. This is USA Radio News.
We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code USA.
Today is Small Business Saturday. Del Dior has the details from the USA Radio News Texas Bureau.
November 28th is Small Business Saturday, and although the holiday shopping season looks different this year, there are still plenty of ways to support local shops. Some businesses are getting creative with offering private shopping appointments so you can avoid the crowd. Most have stepped up their online game so you can still support small businesses and not leave the comfort of your home. While small biz owners admit they do miss the intimacy of a face-to-face transaction, their shopping online option allows for browsing and spending and not being confined by COVID restrictions or normal store hours.
Germany passed 1 million coronavirus cases on Saturday, becoming the 12th country to reach that mark. Earlier this week, Chancellor Angela Merkel extended restrictions that have closed the country's bars, gyms, and indoor leisure centers until at least December 20th. In an address to Germany's parliament, Merkel has warned that the nation is in for a tough winter. This is USA Radio News.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. Gliding in the one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the Jingle Bell Rock.
Well, certainly one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs, and it can be found during the opening credits of one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies, Lethal Weapon, with Mel Gibson and Gary Busey. Keith, I know that's one of your favorites as well.
A rockabilly Christmas song. That's there are not very many of them, but that's the best one, I think. Bobby Helms, I love that twang in his voice. It's just instant, it's country music.
Well, it's an instant good mood. This music is an instant good mood. It doesn't matter what we cover in any given segment. We come back with a song like that, you're going to be happy. I know that's the effect it has on me. Well, getting back to Trump and Biden and where we stand here this November, it feels like it's already December.
Well, it will be midweek.
But in any event, this November 28th, where the Trump and Biden situation stands, you know, one of the things that's been the most comical to me is the try-hard effort Biden is putting out there to prove he is the president-elect by having every media availability he does from the office of the president-elect. Now, this is one peculiar office, to be sure. First of all, there is no office of the president-elect. That's something that they made up. But his office is like, it's got this huge movie theater-like screen behind him that has this huge pronouncement, office of the president-elect. He wants you to know that that's what he believes himself to be and his office. Now, do you go to an office in your office, Keith? You have a movie screen behind you that says the office of Keith Alexander, as Joe Biden does. So, you know, we've got that going on. But with regards to Trump and his case, we didn't expect him to find too much luck on the lower levels. If it gets kicked up to the Supreme Court, I guess that's where push will come to shove. At some point, though, he's going to have to show some proof, or else he'll still be claiming to be the president from Trump Tower while Biden occupies the White House a little less than 2 months from tonight.
Well, let's step back and don't miss the forest for the trees. We need to remember that there is voter fraud. I don't see how anyone
That is not in doubt.
And if there is massive voter fraud, as it appears to be, which basically would have resulted, if it had not happened, in a clear-cut Trump victory, we are going to have the acid test for our government. Do we have a functional or a dysfunctional government? Do we have a functional or a dysfunctional judiciary? If they're telling us that there's fraud involved here, but for some reason we've got to forget about it and move forward with a Democratic administration, then what we're seeing is the end of America. This is Ann Coulter's Adios America. We're not going to be able to have a government under these circumstances. We've got to be able to have proper redress of an enormous crime. This is a stolen election, and there's no doubt about it. And if somehow the networks fluff it off, the news, the churches, the academics and I'll fluff it off, and then the Supreme Court of the United States fluffs it off, then basically we don't have a functioning government because there's no justice. They've committed the perfect crime, if that's the way it is.
Let me tell you something, Keith. We got an article coming up written by Paul Craig Roberts that we are going to republish at our website next week, midweek. He covers everything you're talking about, and it is a must-read, believe me. And I think it's coming up on Wednesday of next week. We'll have it up at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But in the meantime, Trump is now doing what we had advised him to do 4 to 5 years ago. He is finally exclusively turning people via his Twitter account, which has, what, like 80 million followers? I mean, it's huge. Exclusively to alternative news outlets like Newsmax and OANN.
True News.
Well, no,
he's not going to go that far.
He's not going that far. You might as well be pointing him to the TPC at that point. But, you know, Newsmax and OANN, they're okay. I mean, they're certainly not as polished as the legacy media. Now, I'm not saying they're not a hell of a lot more truthful. They are. But they certainly don't have the production value as the others. But he has even rightly turned on Fox, and he's now pushing people. But he should have been doing that when he was running. And instead of giving a media availability at all these White House press briefings with the very cute Kayleigh McEnany, why do you have people who come in here just to attack you, to never report on anything, even objectionably?
I have the answer.
But he's finally turning people towards these alternative news outlets. He should have done it 4 years ago.
Well, he is an unwitting technocrat. What is technocracy? That's been around since 1930s. I remember in that Little Rascals episode called The Kid from Borneo, Spikey asked the wild man from Borneo, do you believe in technocracy? So it was a current idea back then, and it's still current today. What technocracy is government by experts. And it is the governmental class that has convinced us all, or convinced people like Donald Trump, for example, the average American, that you need to be an expert to run the FBI, for example. Well, how can you be an expert in running the FBI? You have to be an employee of the FBI. Well, if you're an employee of the FBI and you hadn't been fired before, then that's probably because you are part of the deep state. And you're part of the problem. And he doesn't seem to understand that he should not be going to the usual suspects. And, of course, Jewish power and influence has always claimed that they're the holy grail holders of expertise on any subject that has to do impinges upon our lives. Well, what he should have been doing is going to his base, which is flyover country conservatives, and finding people from those places to put, for example, in charge of the FBI or the CIA or whatnot. Let's say these people are totally incompetent and don't do anything. Well, we'd be a lot better off with an FBI that doesn't do anything than an FBI that intentionally tries to set up and ambush the President of the United States, like Rod Rosenstein did when he was in charge. And people like this. That's what we have. First of all, you got to drop. You've got to recognize that the problem is technocracy, and you've got to wean yourself from it. And the other things that he needs to know is that, first of all, he's got to become Jew-wise. He keeps putting Jewish people in there and wondering why they're stabbing him in the back. Somebody was talking about Sidney Powell back when we were thinking that maybe she, you know, just...
Well, she's still a player. Yeah, I mean, she's still out there doing her, you know, like freelancing or whatever it is.
But if she was fired by Trump, and I don't think she was, I think she was always separate. But if she was, then we know one thing for certain about Sidney Powell, and that's that she's not Jewish. Because Trump will never raise his hand or so much as his voice to a Jewish member of the deep state like Rod Rosenstein or Bob Mueller or these other people that he keeps encountering. But on the other hand, if it's a white Gentile from flyover country like Jeff Sessions or Corey Lewandowski or other people like that, I mean, he will level withering criticism. So that's it. The reason he's such a disappointment to so many people in our movement is because of those two problems.
All right, but let me ask you this. Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, who is serving as his personal lawyer now after being the mayor of New York and a very big figure in Republican politics, do they sacrifice any and all credibility just to go into the tank for Trump, or do you think that they think that they have something?
I think they have something, but let me tell you, apologies to Rudy Giuliani, but Sidney Powell is smarter than Rudy Giuliani, and she has done more legwork than Rudy Giuliani, and quite frankly, I felt more comfortable with her at the helm than Rudy Giuliani, but that's fine. I think they're fighting a multi-front war, and they like having Sidney Powell and what's that guy's name? Jones or whatnot? Yeah, the guy that represented Nicholas Sandman and whatnot.
Oh, maybe. Lynn Wood. Right?
Yeah, Lynn Wood. That's it. Yeah, Lynn Wood. Those two, I think that...
And that's another heavy hitter. I mean, that's a guy who's won a big case.
Well, I think the first number one in the lineup should be Sidney Powell, number two, Lynn Wood, and number three, Rudy Giuliani.
Right, but in the meantime, these three major lawyers, by relative standards of measurement, they're getting routed in case after case, hearing after hearing. At some point,
they're not being routed on the merits. They're being routed by the deep state who has certain functionaries.
Well, I was routed there with Aesop's Fables, but I'm just saying.
Well, see, that's it. The thing is, people have this kind of childish idea that if you say the magic words in court, abracadabra, that all of a sudden everything falls in your way. It doesn't. They've got people that are running that thing that are beholden to other people, so, and they're going to find a good excuse to, come down on what they consider the right side.
Can this go to the Supreme Court, yes or no, and then we'll follow up?
Yes, it can, and it should. And if the Supreme Court doesn't do something to help Trump, then it's a dysfunctional judiciary.
We'll be right back.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
Christmas is all around me, and so the feeling is
I bet you didn't know the Trogs had a Christmas album. All right, well, Sam Bushman was talking with us from the production office at the network headquarters in Utah during the break, and he said, here's how it's going to turn out, guys. I'm gonna be a spoiler and tell you how the story ends. Biden's going to be your president. Trump's lawyers do have the smoking gun, but the deep state is so in your face about it now that they're basically just going to ask you, what are you going to do about it? Shut up, sit down, go to jail, or die. And he doesn't believe that the Supreme Court is going to save the day, in spite of the fact that Trump has basically stocked the Supreme Court like a catfish pond over the course of the last few years. And
well, the problem is you're getting all your catfish from the Federalist Society,
yeah, that's right,
and they are not real catfish. Here's our problem. What we have in America today is just what R.L. Dabney was talking about in that quote that you showed me the other day when you were having your interview by the European newspaper or publication of some type.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more in the third hour.
But basically what it is they let you know modern conservatism, there's very few people. They wanted that neoconservatism was invented by Jewish interests because they wanted a conservatism they could control. And what they're doing is saying, signaling to the left, we have no desire of exercising the folly of martyrdom. So we're not really serious about this. We'll put up a fight like a sparring partner for a heavyweight champion. He's got to have some skills, but he's basically there to keep the heavyweight champ in shape. And one thing for sure, they don't want the sparring partner knocking the champion out in the practice, okay? So that's why conservatism, the conservatives that you're allowed to hear on network news or in the mainstream press.
It's liberalism from about 10 to 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's right,
that's
exactly.
It's not real conservatism.
And they're basically here,
principle.
Their primary role is not to defeat the left, but to muzzle the authentic right, people like us.
All right. Well, that being the case, and we know that that's true about Conservatism, Inc., as it is colloquially called. But with regards to the recounts that are going on right now, well, the recounts aren't going to get Trump anywhere because they're just going to be recounting the fraudulent ballots. I mean, so you can recount until the cows come home. If you're recounting all these mail-in ballots that we believe to be out of order, then you're going to get a similar count to what you already had. Now, again, it's going to have to go before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court did just give us a very minor victory, and that was in the case out of New York just before midnight on the night before Thanksgiving. The Supreme Court blocked New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's law enforcing attendance limits at church services. So the vote was 5-4. With the liberal justice, Chief Justice John Roberts, and the three liberals dissenting. It was a 5-4 decision, which, of course, could be laid in the lap of Amy Barrett. Now, we're going to call her Amy Barrett. We're not going to refer to her with three names. We don't believe it to be proper that a married woman goes by three names. So we're going to call her Amy Barrett. But what I found so interesting about this, and good for her, by the way, it's a good start for Barrett on the Supreme Court. The left at once endorses and sanctions the wholesale slaughter and murder of tens of millions of babies in the womb, but then pretends that going to church is going to kill you. So you can wholesale slaughter babies as they live in the womb, but if you go to church, no, that's where, you know, that's dangerous. That's, we got to stop that. So again, that's not a ruling that's going to fundamentally change anything for us. It's a very, very minor ruling, but it was a win for decency, I guess. And it's a win to whatever extent that we wouldn't have had otherwise. Any hope, if a really big case comes before the court, which now I think Clarence Thomas is basically the lion.
He's taking the torch from Scalia now that Scalia has passed, and I think he was assassinated, quite frankly.
Well, he and Alito are the conservative voices, and then you've got, to a lesser extent, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and then, of course, Barrett is a wild card because she just doesn't have much of a portfolio, but in this one, she delivered it. Now, any chance they delivered on anything that matters, though?
Well, that's a $64,000 question, and I'm saying, you know, I've said earlier in the show, if they're not up to the task, then we have a dysfunctional judiciary that is not functioning the way that the Founding Fathers thought it ought to. If they're afraid to exercise their authority, when you have a clear case of wrong that has affected something as fundamental as the election of the President of the United States, and you're not willing to do anything about it, then basically we just need to forget about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is rotten to the core and needs to be replaced with something else if that's the way it goes.
All right, so again, I say, if Trump has this evidence that he knows will overturn a couple of these states and deliver him the presidency, that Biden and his ilk, or the people handling Biden, Biden is really, I mean, Biden can't even tie his own shoes anymore. I don't believe, that's not a joke. The steroids or whatever they gave him to get him through the presidential debates wore off at some event he was giving the other day. He had about four or five gaffes in one sentence. I mean, he just couldn't string together a sentence to save his life from that office of the president-elect that he has at the drive-in theater there, wherever he's at. But if Trump has all of this evidence and he still agrees to leave office, then I say again, to repeat myself, to hell with him.
Well, look, let's go back to Brown versus Board of Education. What was that? That was supposedly the courageous Supreme Court stepping in to correct a wrong that could not be mediated or solved politically. The legislature couldn't do it. The president couldn't do it. So the Supreme Court is the last arbiter and last hope of separating right from wrong, was going to save the day. Well, yeah, they saved the day when what they're trying to change corresponds totally with the prevailing thought of the liberal elite of this nation. But if you have something like a stolen election, they're not going to walk in there. They're not going to martyr themselves. And see, the other thing, though, about the Supreme Court is that the Supreme Court is never was intended to have this type of power, but it has developed that type of power in the service of liberalism, and we'll see if they will exercise the similar power trying to serve the interests of conservatives.
I got to ask you one more thing before we run out of time this hour. And again, ladies and gentlemen, in the second hour, our featured guest of the night, Sarah Dye. Don't miss her story. Third hour, we're going to talk about TPC and the news a little bit. Jack Ryan will be with us. We're going to talk about some inspirational movies and clips and things of that nature, and continue to play the Christmas music between now all the way through the end of the year. But I say, as is so often the reality, the simplest answer is usually the correct one. The simplest answer in this case is that Trump is fundraising, but I don't really think so. I mean, it's not entirely impossible that it's not. I mean, we're nearly a month removed. Let the chips fall where they may and pass me the popcorn. But you're telling me that you still believe, even at this late date, nearly a month after the election, that Trump may have it and Trump may make a run for it.
Well, let me tell you how they ought to handle this lawsuit, okay? Their primary thrust ought to be the Dominion machine, computer program, and protocol. That's where that's the richest vein of ore that they have in this argument. That's where you get everything easily proven, and you can also make it understandable rather than getting swamped with the minutia. The low-tech election fraud was used to provide the necessary paperwork to back up what the crooked Dominion system had cooked up. You remember, between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, suddenly Trump's position and Biden's position had flip-flopped. Well, they had to have some ballots behind, but they didn't know how many ballots they needed. That's what Dominion proved. And then the good old-fashioned way, they went to the preachers and whatnot that had, you know, the pallets of ballots and decided decided how many pallets of these ballots do we need, and they got them in there to the right people. But see, that's secondary. The primary engine that made this possible was Dominion. And that's what I would be harping on. I would be hitting Dominion all the time.
How did we ever have elections in this country or anywhere in the world before computers tallied our votes for us? I mean, it just seems like it would have been impossible to count them yourselves at local precincts. But, hey, don't get me wrong, folks. I hope Trump pulls it out. I find it increasingly unlikely at this point.
If he doesn't do it, look, we all need to be heading for the bomb shelters, folks. Because
yeah, they're going to stack the Supreme Court. They're going to bring in Puerto Rico and D.C. They're going to capture the Senate forever. That it'll pretty much be an end game. I mean, no doubt about it.
We'll never win another election.
I don't know how much we've won in the past with Republicans.
Well, we win, but we find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
All right, we got to take a break. Sarah Dye up next. Stay tuned.
Radio Network.